It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And this is the Virtual Bible Study for March 19th, 2015. Thank you for joining us on the program tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is across the table from me tonight. Hello, Dan.
Jacob, great to be here.
Good to be with you as well. Dan is behind the controls. Look forward to hearing from you tonight, Dan. Thank you for being here. And looking forward to an interesting, well, an important subject tonight.
Well, in researching through our archives, of course, we always remind people, we've got a lot of archives out there, almost 500 episodes of the Virtual Bible Study. Are we not going?
No, help me out. I got an error.
Yeah. Are we live?
Yeah.
Okay. We got, in researching through our archives, we found out that we haven't done a lot of talk about parenting, Jacob. Recently in our adult Bible class here at the College View Church, we've had some lessons on parenting and thought maybe we'd use some of that information tonight and try to share that with our listeners. It's very important what God says about proper rules for parents.
All right. We'll look forward to that. And I couldn't figure out if you thought that I needed help disciplining my child, or if you thought I had done something wrong and you wanted to discipline me with the subject. I was a little bit nervous.
Well, it's probably all around.
Oh, well, okay.
All around. Well, we all need help with this, obviously.
I look forward to that because I do need that help.
You know, there's a lot of bad information out there in the world. If you went into a bookstore and went to the self-help section or the family section or whatever, there'd be a lot of psychologists who've written about child rearing and child discipline, and they've got a lot of it wrong. Okay. Unfortunately, a lot of people are listening to that sort of stuff, and therefore a lot of kids are not being trained in the ways that God wants them to be trained.
All right. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. It's not a problem that is new. People have been having problems disciplining their children. I guess from the beginning.
Yeah, that's right. It's a challenge. It's a big challenge. Nobody would be right in suggesting that it's an easy job. It's a difficult job. I think it grows more challenging as time goes on. I think in the modern age, parenting is especially challenging. And so parents need help from the Word of God, but they need to pay attention to the Word of God, too. I mean, You just can't blindly go along. You've got to pay attention to what God has said and try to apply the rules that he has set forth in his Word.
All right. We'll look forward to hearing from you tonight. You sent out some questions earlier today.
To our update list. I always tell you, get on the list if you're not. Questions@collegeview.com is the email address. And just say, add me to the list, and we will do that. And to our list earlier today, looks like this went out almost at 11:30 this morning. That's about the time we usually try to get these out. We asked some questions for your consideration on our discussion tonight on the program. Number one, what's the primary purpose of child discipline? What are we doing it for? Number two, what do you think and what does the Bible say about spanking children? And then as a sub-point to that, what are some objections commonly given by those who oppose spanking, and how would you answer these? That is, if you support the idea of spanking. Number three, besides spanking, what other forms of discipline can and should be used? Number four, what are some child discipline's do's and don'ts? Number five, how can we evaluate the effectiveness of our efforts to discipline our children? And number six, what if our kids are older? What additional factors may need to be considered?
All right. Appreciate your comments in advance. You can send them in, questions@collegeview.com, or in the chat room, or 877-381-4567. In the chat room already tonight, guest 4733 says, I'm hoping maybe you could also speak about child rearing a mentally handicapped child. And that just highlights the fact that, well, every child in every situation is going to be slightly different.
Yeah, I think that Certainly a parent with a mentally handicapped child would have extra challenges. But I still think a lot of the same principles would apply. I mean, they may have to be adapted. For instance, we're going to talk in a minute about spanking. And I don't know. I mean, there's all different. There's a wide spectrum of kids with disability and so forth, and how much they may be able to comprehend. If they can't comprehend the discipline that you're administering, then there's no use doing that way. And so it would depend on the level of a kid's ability to understand the discipline, its purposes, and what's desired.
And so the techniques and approaches may be slightly different based upon the child, his personality, and maybe some issues that he or she may have. But the objective and primary purpose of discipline, your first question, I think it's the same whether the child has many mental challenges or the child has maybe severe personality issues. And the objective is the same across the board.
Yeah.
The purpose of child discipline.
Yeah. What we're striving for, of course, is to get them to be obedient. And then what that underlying what obedience is a respect for authority. We're trying to get them to respect parental authority and submit to it, be obedient to it. And so, you know, again, the question asked in the chat room is a little too vague to be able to answer specifically because we don't know the level of the specific child's handicap that maybe is under consideration. But our objective with any child is to get them to be obedient and to respect the authority of their parents. That's really important because as they grow older, they're going to have to be able to be adaptable to the authority of others. Initially, a child is just subject to our authority. They don't know of any other authority. They don't care about any other authority. They're not concerned about the government. They're not concerned about a boss on the job. They're not concerned about administrators at school. Initially, it's just parents. And so, but if we start early and get them to respect the authority of parents, then it will make it easier for them to become submissive to the authority of others as they grow older. All so right. That's what it's really about.
877-381-4567 in the chat room. Guest 1469 suggests the purpose is to train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Well, I think that's right because ultimately the authority we want them to be submissive to is the authority of God. That's everything. That encompasses everything.
All right. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is the reference there by our listeners. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for that comment tonight. So what is the purpose of the primary objective of discipline? Let us know your thoughts.
All right. Chris in Atlanta had sent in an email, and he said the purpose of child discipline is to correct dangerous, immoral, or bad behavior in order that the child may learn to behave in a godly manner that benefits him down the road and others he or she will come into contact with. I think that's another good way to say it. We want them to be able to adhere to God's law. It's in their best interest. An undisciplined child, one that doesn't know of authority and how to interact with authority, we're setting them up for failure. Of course, unfortunately, the world is full of lots of people who have not been trained in the ways of God and do not respect his authority or anybody else's for that matter, and our society is suffering as a result of that.
All right. Look forward to your thoughts. Dan, I'm sure you've known children who, well, they weren't trained to respect authority and weren't trained to have self-discipline, and their lives suffered, well, throughout their life.
It is, and it's a fundamental philosophy that we need to teach our kids that they need to respect authority, because if they can't respect authority at a young age, how are we going to expect for them to respect authority as they get older?
Yeah.
And throughout our lives, you know, even today as adults, we understand authority. You know, how is it that we can embrace or, you know, respect authority, but yet we're not going to instill that into our children? I don't understand that because, as being an adult, we have to respect the authority of our supervisors. We, you know, if our supervisor is supposed to be there at work at 8 o'clock, we should be there at work at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. We don't tell little Johnny no. Yeah. I'm sure that all the employers out there are going to be knocking on Johnny's door wanting him to come work for him, you know?
Yeah, he's never been told about anything.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Another way to put this, the purpose of discipline is the purpose of discipline is to give children reasons to obey.
Yeah.
Now, they may have other reasons. They may have their reasons for not wanting to obey. You know, maybe it's maybe they're having fun. Maybe they, you know, whatever. But when we discipline them, we are giving them stronger reasons to obey than they have for not obeying. Sometimes that's called reward punishment, reward or punishment. In other words, we reward good behavior, we punish bad behavior, but we want to give them motivation for obedience. It's obviously a lot more involved, but it's not totally unlike what you do with an animal. If you have a pet and you're trying to train them to do something, you know, or break a bad habit that they have, mm-hmm. you use what's called reinforcement.
Right.
You reinforce good behavior, you punish bad behavior, and therefore they learn it's better to obey than not to obey. You do that with an animal at a much higher level and far more difficultly. We teach our children that way.
All right. All right. And I did like Chris's comment here that we're doing it for himself down the road and the others he or she will come in contact with. Certainly, if we fail on this in this job, then our children will pay down the road, and our whole society will as well. Guest 4263 in the chat room references Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Our children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And, well, that's an excellent passage for this discussion. And it is the first commandment with promise in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. It is the first one that has the promise, and that promise being that we'll be benefited if, as children, we can learn to respect the authority of our parents, and it will benefit us down the road.
All right. Let's jump in. Before we get to our first break, let's jump into the question about spanking. Obviously, when you talk about child discipline, one of the questions that's going to come up is, what about spanking? And I asked the question, what do you think, what does the Bible say about spanking? Well, I think the Bible is very clear about the use of spanking, or as sometimes people call it, corporal punishment, physical punishment. Mm-hmm. Spanking is definitely taught in the book of Proverbs. Is full of famous statements about spanking. Let me read just a few of them. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in a child's heart, but the rod drives it from him. Proverbs 19:18, chasten the son while there is still hope. This is for his good. Proverbs 13:24, one who does not spank his son when it is needed hates him. One who loves his son will chasten him. And so statements like that in the Proverbs certainly endorse the idea of using physical punishment, corporal punishment, spanking specifically, for the well-being of the child.
Now, I got an objection, though, because over and over again on this program, we talk about the fact that we can't establish our authority from the Old Testament. You just went to the book of Proverbs there to prove your point that we need to be spanking our children. I can't read about spanking in the New Testament. So you're going to have to explain that one to me.
All right. Well, the Old Testament is for our learning.
All right.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. How's it exactly worded there? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, verse 11, these things happen to them for examples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So there's things to learn from the Old Testament. That's not our law for today, but there are principles stated there that are timeless principles in regards to conduct and so forth. It's not law. We understand we're not going to the Old Testament for law, but it's still a place where we can learn wisdom and make modern day application.
All right, maybe we should take a break. Let our listeners chime in on that. Is it valid to go to the book of Proverbs to prove that spanking is accepted and should be employed by parents today? Can we do that? 877-381-4567. questions@collegeu.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you and joining the chat room as well. Can we go to the book of Proverbs to show that corporal punishment is acceptable? Let us know your thoughts. We'll be back right after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
I'm Larry Raspberry, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with a question for you. Do you believe in parachutes? I suppose you do. You believe they exist, but that's not what I mean. There's a difference between believing something or someone exists and putting your confidence in it or him. One who has seen a parachute knows they exist, but has never put his confidence in one. Trying one on while standing on the ground isn't faith either. Going up in a plane intending to jump out with a parachute on is not faith in the parachute either. Opening the door at the moment of truth and gazing outside to the ground is not faith either. It is only when one jumps out the door, counts to 10, and pulls the ripcord that he has actually put his faith in the parachute. Many of you believe parachutes exist, but only a few have actually put your faith in one. Many people in the world say they believe God exists, but only a few put their faith in him for salvation by doing what he says. We'd love to help you in developing a saving faith in God. If we can be of assistance, please contact us. Send an email to questions@collegeview.com or call us at 877-381-4567. And thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. It's not what you do once in a while. It's what you do day in and day out that makes the difference. Man, wish I'd said that.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we're glad that you're with us tonight as we talk about disciplining our children. We left with the question earlier of disciplining our children from the book of Proverbs. Is it acceptable? I mean, we over and over again say we're not getting our authority from the Old Testament, that Christ nailed that to the cross. Can we then go to Proverbs and say, you ought to be disciplining your children? Guess 1469 in the chat room says Hebrews chapter 12 uses the example of chastening and gives the Greek word there, which I don't know.
Paiduo.
Discipline by punishment of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought of that too during the break, and I think that that's the right way to approach it. That Hebrews 12, beginning about verse 5, talks about the chastening of the Lord, and the illustration is given: human fathers chasten their children, God chastens his children, a father chastens the one whom he loves, and that would be a reinforcement of the proverbial principles that we were reading there from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Chris in Atlanta suggested some of those same verses, Proverbs 13, 24, 29, 15, and 23, verses 13 and 14. But I would just argue that we're not going to the Old Testament for law, we're going there for principles, and I would agree that Hebrews 12 tends to suggest that that is a reasonable deduction from the Old Testament, that God would endorse physical punishment of children.
All right. Look forward to your thoughts tonight. And I like the verse that you referenced there in Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasing your son while there is hope, indicates here that we've got sort of a narrow window to get this job done.
Yeah, that's right. We got to do our work now, or it'll reach a point where it's too late.
We've known kids that were not disciplined as youngsters, and when they got into their late teenage years, well, the door's already shut, at least for most of that, because they haven't been taught the authority. They're big enough now to be a physical threat to the parents, and there's just there's not much hope in that corporal route anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
Now, of course, we were saying earlier that child rearing supposed experts, child psychologists today, are of course completely against spanking. I had a quote here from one psychologist named Linda Budd, who wrote a book about child rearing, and in it she said, if you spank your child, you should, quote, apologize and own up to your mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Complete mistake, she said, to be spanking. Of course, you can read a lot of that from the Wisdom of Men. I asked what would be some objections that have been heard about spanking. And, of course, the one that comes up almost immediately is that it constitutes child abuse.
That's what Chris had noted in his response. He said some claim it is child abuse. And his response is it certainly can be child abuse in the most extreme and severe forms. Spanking that is not excessive, one that does not cause physical harm, is certainly an effective tool that is not abusive. In fact, I would consider it mental child abuse if you do not discipline your children effectively. They have to learn to obey rules when small, or they will have a very difficult time operating in society as an adult.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that actually properly administered spanking helps prevent child abuse because it stops the misbehavior. Because if you don't stop that misbehavior, then it's just an escalating cycle. And sooner or later, the parent will lose control and perhaps become abusive. But if spanking is properly administered, it stops the misbehavior, puts everything back on the right course, and helps both parent and child prevent any potential harm in that way.
And the parents' rules, if out of love, Dan, are for the child's best interest. You tell your kids not to stick their finger in a light socket, for instance. You're not doing that just because you want to be mean to them. You're doing that because there are reasons why they shouldn't do that. And the same is true in other areas as well. Your instructions are for their best interest. And so the discipline is a long line of reinforcing that, not just being some type of tyrant.
If I may add, Proverbs 22:6, talking about training the child, and it's at the very end, it says so that they will not depart from it. So it's also to reinforce that as well. Proverbs 22:6.
Right. I think you're right, Dan. Again, you know, the undisciplined children, and typically those who are not spanked are pretty undisciplined, are going to finally push enough buttons with parents that they may very well resort to child abuse just out of frustration. Whereas if the spankings properly administered will prevent that, I think that's the way I would answer that objection. Of course, the follow-up to that is that the objection raised is that it will teach children themselves to be violent. Sociologist Professor Murray Strauss wrote, quote, spanking teaches kids that when someone is doing something you don't like and they won't stop doing it, you hit them. That's, again, some of that modern psychology of child rearing that is wrong.
And Chris responds that. He had the same point in his email. He responds to it with one word, hogwash. He says, I was spanked as a child, and I'm a very passive and despise physical confrontation. Your children are far more likely to be influenced towards violence by unrestricted television, video game, and internet access.
I think that's right, too.
Amen to that, Chris.
So, again, we're not teaching violence. We're actually teaching them to be more calm, more peaceful by administering discipline properly. Some people say, quickly, before we get to the
I've never seen any gangsters, you know, when they're mad, laying somebody over their knee and spanking them, you know, the gang fight, and they're pulling their pants down and spanking them.
Well, but the argument is they learned to be violent people because they were spanked as children. But if that is a proven outcome, then there's more exceptions than there are rules in that, because in previous generations, everyone was spanked. It's only been within the last one or two generations where people thought they could get by without spanking their children. Mm-hmm. So the world itself would be completely full of violently out of control people if, in fact, spanking children makes people act violently. So the proof is not in the pudding, as they say. We don't see that outcome.
Okay. All right. Good.
What about another objection? What about damaging the child's self-esteem? This is from the book called The Complete Book of Mothercraft. quote, the chief danger of punishment is that it makes the child feel guilty, that he is bad and naughty.
We wouldn't want to do that, would we?
Well, what if he has been bad and naughty?
Yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't he feel guilty? That's an appropriate response. You know, guilt is when you do bad, you should feel bad about it. That is an appropriate connection there.
Yeah.
We actually want our kids to make that connection. When I do bad, I feel bad.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, and so I don't understand that objection at all.
No, seems very foolish. Yeah, Dan.
Would that objection, would that fly over with your boss?
You don't want to feel bad?
Yeah. You think your boss
would
listen to that? You know, don't criticize me for being late, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to make me feel bad.
Yeah. Tough toenails there, buddy. Yeah.
All right. let me give you another objection here before we move further. Some people say spanking just doesn't work. And I would just deny that on, I mean, who you talking to, spanking doesn't work. Sometimes it doesn't work. We understand that. You know, sometimes we spank our kids and they go right on keep doing the same thing. But when although spanking does sometimes fail to bring about the desired correction and obedience, it doesn't always fail. It needs to be used consistently. It needs to be used appropriately, and parents have to just be diligent about it. You know, if little Johnny understands that every time he does that, he's going to get a spanking, then he'll stop doing that. But if this time he does it and he gets spanked, but the next time he does it, all he gets is yelled at. Next time he does it, nobody even notices it, and it's 5 or 6 times down the road before someone says, "Oh, I'm going to spank you for that again." Well, obviously, that's an inconsistent application and giving mixed messages and no reinforcement. The child doesn't know what to do, what's expected of him. So if spanking fails, it generally fails because it's not being properly and consistently applied.
And that perhaps is the biggest challenge of child rearing and disciplining, Dan, you think, is being consistent with it, not letting anything slide.
That can be challenging as a parent to maintain that consistency.
It is.
It's something you have to work with on a daily basis.
It is. It is a challenge.
Yeah. Obviously, spanking can be misused. And what we want to do, too, is talk about some other forms. The next question we ask is, what are some other forms of discipline that can and should be used? We wouldn't want to leave the impression, Jacob, that although we think the Bible endorses the use of spanking, that it is the single and only form of child discipline that a parent should use. That'd be a mistake. We don't want to leave the impression that, you know, you just got to spank them for everything they do wrong. Every instance of any minor infraction deserves a spanking. We're not saying that. I actually think that spanking ought to be more of a last resort than a first resort.
Okay.
It certainly shouldn't be the first approach that we use in trying to get our children to obey. But remember, the purpose of child discipline is to get our children to obey, to respect our authority, to do what they're told to do in a submissive, obedient way. And certainly spanking is in that realm. It's got to be used in that context, but it's definitely something that is valuable. A valuable, necessary form of child discipline is spanking, although it's widely disclaimed by a lot of so-called experts. I was reading here where the country of Sweden has outlawed spanking altogether.
Unbelievable.
On the grounds that it is child abuse. But, you know, we're not way far behind that, because I think in most schools today, spankings are not allowed. And there have been plenty of cases in the news where parents who did spank their children and were observed doing so were arrested, charges brought against them, you know, for child abuse. So we're not far behind, but I think the Bible clearly endorses spanking, and it is a valuable disciplinary resource for parents.
Not, again, child abuse. That's not authorized, but spanking certainly is endorsed in the Scriptures. And, well, did you get spanked in school, Dan? Did the paddle come out for you?
You're going to maybe confess it on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been said so many times, everybody's heard it, you know, but the old rule was, if you got spanked at school and your folks found out about it, you got another spanking when you got home. The problem is, it's not that way anymore. Now, if a child would get spanked at school, when they got home, their parents would bring a suit against the school for spanking their
kids.
But,
you know, it was a very valuable thing. And I'm sure, Dan, that the rumors went around about the principal's paddle with the nails in it and stuff like that at your school. You know, that was always, you know, there was that fear that kept you, taught you to obey the rules of what might happen.
It was actually done. I've told this story here at College View before, but it was done in school to not only correct the misbehaving child, but also to serve as a warning to everyone else. And we had a school with 3 long corridors, and I mean, talk about how the world has changed. And one of the primary offenses that you got spankings for was for chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that the assistant principal would give the spankings. He had a big wooden paddle, And he'd take the offending student to the head of each of those three hallways, and he'd have to bend over and grab your ankles, and when you got hit with the paddle, you had to yell out at the top of your lungs, "Gone!" And then he'd take you to the next corridor and do the same. All three corridors got to hear one whack and the loud yell, "Gum!" And the idea was,
everybody is shivering in fear.
Don't chew gum, yeah, unless you want that to happen to you.
Yeah, it's okay. In Texas, some schools still call their parents to come and spank their children, so bring them into school to spank them there. That's good. And guest 4733 says it is serious during the time, but later we always have a good laugh about it because of how ridiculous we can be as children. And certainly we have done ridiculous things as children. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child is one of the proverbs, and
the rod of correction will drive it far from it.
That's right.
Philip in the chat room references Proverbs 19:18. We mentioned it earlier, but I think it deserves so much repeating. Chasten thy son while there is hope. In other words, there's a window of opportunity. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. In other words, you got to do it. It's not pleasant. Nobody, you know, if there's any parent who enjoys doing that, then they probably do have a problem. You know, there's probably something wrong with them, and they may be a child abuser if they delight in spanking their children. It's no fun. Nobody likes it. You know, the parents used to always say, "This is going to hurt me worse than it does you." Well, probably not, but the idea there is that...
In a different way.
Parents should... I mean, there's no joy in that, but it's a necessary thing.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll get this week's bullet point. When we get back, we want to talk about some other discipline tactics and methods that can be used besides spanking. What are some other forms of discipline that maybe you've used with success in the past or used successfully on you? What are some other ways to discipline children? Again, we understand the Bible tells us that we must discipline our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, the Lord has instructed us to be disciplining our children. Let us know your thoughts. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. A common complaint of parents is the frequent fussing and fighting that occurs between their children. The scenario typically develops like this. One starts it all with an unkind word or deed, the other responds in kind, and the fight is on. Before it's over, the words have become meaner, the blows have become harder, the tempers have flared higher. Usually, these serious fights result over some amazingly petty and insignificant things. And of course, there's always the tattling and accusations concerning who's at fault. All in all, it's a pretty ugly thing. Spiritual brothers often exhibit the same propensity for fighting. The similarities are truly striking. Think about it. It's usually started by an unkind word or deed. Words become harsher. Tempers get involved. It's usually over something that is very insignificant. There's always the name-calling and finger-pointing coupled with gossip and rumoring. All in all, it's a pretty ugly thing. The important bottom line is that God commands us to be better than this. That goes for our relationships in the family and in the church. Parents hope that the problems with their children will be overcome with teaching and maturity. It is certain that problems among brethren can only be solved in this same way. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 tells us, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Computers are good for lots of things, but there's no better way you could be using yours than to participate in the virtual Bible study every Thursday night. Can you think of a better use of your time?
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Back on the program, reminding you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Our website is thevirtualbiblestudy.com, where you can find out more information about this program, about what we believe in practice. Podcast sermons recently presented to the College View Church of Christ. Find out where we meet, what time we meet, and we encourage you to contact us at any time with questions or comments. Questions@collegeview.com.
Jacob, the follow-up question to the one about spanking was, besides spanking, what other forms of discipline can and should be used? Again, I want to stress that we're not suggesting, although we first talked about spanking, we're not suggesting that spanking is the one and only form of discipline or even the first resort of discipline. I think it should come way later. A number of other things should be tried first. And the Bible actually gives us some suggestions about that. We know that God is the perfect Father, and we might think about how He disciplines. He does discipline by punishment, But he also disciplines by reward. Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So just as God punishes evil, and we have to punish misconduct, God rewards good, and we should follow his example in that. And so one form of discipline is in rewarding good behavior. That's a disciplinary act itself.
Oh, certainly. Excellent. So maybe look for those areas where you can praise and reward the child following the instructions.
You know, we said earlier that this whole idea is sort of the idea of reinforcement. You punish bad so that they don't want to do the bad anymore, but you reward the good so that they are given motivation to do more good. And so positive reinforcement is very important.
All right, yeah. And how would we like it as adults if all that we ever heard was how we messed up and never heard how we did good on our job or in other situations?
Yeah, so very good example. On your job, you want to do a good job because you don't want the negative things that will happen if you don't, get called in on the carpet and maybe get reprimanded, potentially lose your job. You don't want any of those negative things to happen. But if you do a good job, you want to get a raise, you want to get a promotion, you want to get a bonus, so even on the job, those same things come to play. So
you do a good job and Dan and the boss says, well, I'm glad you didn't mess up like you did yesterday, instead of praising you for doing what you're supposed to do.
But that's harder for parents because, if kids are doing good, then you just want to let things just roll. You need to consciously reward the good because you're going to have to pay attention to the bad and punish that. So pay attention to the good. I know a psychologist who said that he thinks, and he understands the biblical principles in this, but he thinks that you need to say yes twice as much as you say no. And I think that's where a lot of us as parents let down. We don't reinforce the good. We need to do twice as much positive reinforcement as we do negative punishing. And you got to work at that. That doesn't come easily because it's easy to just sort of ignore the good because that's what you wanted anyway. That's what you expected, and that's what they should be doing. But you don't say anything about it. That's a mistake. You got to reward the good.
And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 tells us we're to bring up our children in the nurture or training of an admonition of the Lord. Think about nurturing or training a plant. When it's growing in the way that you want it, then you care for that, and you make sure that continues. And so that positive reinforcement would be when we see that good behavior and that growth in a direction that we want the child to go, then we should encourage and train that and make that positive reinforcement. So that's good.
Yeah, in fact, that same verse, Jacob, says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition. In other words, if we're just constantly negative with them, then we're going to provoke them in ways that are not good.
Yeah.
And so we got to be positive with them.
Okay. All right. Philip in the chat room says discipline. He gives the definition here: to train by instruction and exercise, drill, to bring to a state of order and obedience by training and control, to punish or penalize in order to train and control, correct, chastise. And so certainly the corporal is in that definition, but it doesn't necessitate corporal punishment in every instance, and it may give us some instructions there. Just the definition of the word gives some meaning there that doesn't require corporal punishment.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Another thing that we can do in a positive form of discipline is to offer acceptable substitutes. You can't do this, but you can do this,
okay. That
sort of thing. We just can't take everything away from our children. We've got to give them something in return. You can't just leave a void there. So you say, you can't play video games today, but here's what you can do.
You can't go outside and play football.
Yeah. So give some acceptable alternatives. Withhold privileges is another, instead of spanking them, just say, well, okay, since you did that, then today you can't do this. You can't watch TV. You can't watch that program you like. You can't play your video game. Withhold privileges. That's a form of punishment.
You and Chris are on the same wavelength. He says timeout, taking away privileges such as TV, computer, cell phones, favorite toy, or grounding. So he's saying maybe take away some of those privileges.
Yeah. And then I would offer one more suggestion, and that is sometimes let our kids have to deal with the consequences of what they've done. You know,
explain that.
Well, you know, I told you not to be playing ball in the neighbor's backyard, and you did, and you broke their window.
Yeah.
Now get your piggy bank out, because it's going to cost, you know,
$150 for a new window.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if windows cost that much. They didn't cost that much when I broke windows.
Oh, there was single pane back then. You just had to replace the pane. You got to replace the whole job now. Come on. $50. Yeah, it's going to be $50.
Yeah. But I mean, in other words, let them accept, let them have to deal with the consequences of what they've done, instead of just, you know, it's real tempting as parents just to rush in and cover it for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we got to let them say, well, you know, that was a mistake. What you did was wrong.
Right.
And now there's a price to pay for the wrong that was done, and I'm going to let you pay it. So let them deal with the consequences of their own wrong.
Good. And Chris in the chat room says we should, in his email, says we should always use a variety of methods, and each child has a unique personality. One child will respond to a particular method much better than another child would.
I think that's right. You know, I think most all parents, at least parents who have more than one child, will say, you know, I could just talk to that child and he or she would do what I said. This one over here, I had to spank them 10 times more often than this other one. Just a difference in personality. It takes a different approach for every different child.
Or maybe the child likes being alone in his room. You know, I mean, sending him to his room is not that big of a deal. So that may be not one that you want to use.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I've done with my kids is offer them an option. You want to lose electronics, or do you want licks? You know, and I learned real quick that they were more than quickly, you know, willing to jump on, you know, taking licks because they can get it done, get it over.
So did you do
they
the opposite
still
of
have
what they
electronics.
Asked?
So next time, real quick, not to offer us.
But what you do when you do that is say, do you want a spanking or do you want to lose your electronic toy? And they say, I'll take the spanking. And then you say, no, I'm taking the electronic toy. You know, that's the one they really hated the worst. All right. Quickly, we ask about some do's and don'ts that we should observe as parents with discipline. And of course, I think right at the top of the list is we want to inflict no lasting harm or damage to the child. You know, and again, this would be in the form of child abuse, anything that would cause a real injury. You know, a stinging backside is not a permanent injury, but I mean, if you hit them hard enough to break a bone or something, then that's obviously excessive and overboard and wrong and should not be done. Okay. So inflict no lasting harm.
Hey, Chris says, don't use corporal punishment when you are your angriest. Always, always, always make sure the child understands why they are being punished and that you love them. When using a form of punishment other than spanking, say grounding the child, do not give in and lessen or remove the punishment. The child will learn that you are not really serious about the situation. Excellent comments there.
I think exactly right, Chris. I think
so,
exactly.
So don't do it out of rage or out of wrath, and make sure that they understand that. If a whack comes flying out of nowhere and the child doesn't even know why he's getting the spanking or getting the punishment, what good does that do?
Well, one of the things that I've done with my kids is that whenever before I spank them, I'll talk with them and ask them, you know, do you understand why it is that you're getting a spanking?
Yeah.
You know, and reinforce that, make sure that they understand that.
And make sure you're not punishing them for something they didn't do, right?
Absolutely.
It exposes their guilt.
Absolutely. And then one of the other things, too, that I like to do is actually sit down and pray with them. I think that's a good thing. So that way you can pray to God about, you know, what they had done, and they can understand that, that, you know, it's not just the consequences that they're suffering from. They're not suffering consequences of that they are suffering is not just something that I'm imposing upon them.
There's a higher authority.
There's a higher authority.
Right. Yeah, good. Yeah. Very good, Dan. Another do is you gotta control with prompt. You gotta discipline with prompt action, not just with words. How many of us have known parents who threaten? If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And 2 minutes later, if I told you, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And that may go on endlessly. Yeah. I've been around parents who never got beyond that threatening stage. Just words, no action. James Dobson gives an example in Dare to Discipline. Some know that book by James Dobson. He gives the example of a woman who her form of discipline was to run out her door from time to time. Her kids were terrorizing the neighborhood, and she would run out the door from time to time and said, "I've had it with you kids. I've had it with you children." And then she would go back in the house, and her kids would continue to wreak havoc on the neighborhood. All of that sort of, you know, words without follow-up action. We got to avoid that for sure.
Okay. All right, we need to get a break, and we'll continue the discussion on the other side. Philip in the chat room suggests we be angry and sin not, and certainly we have to control that with our children. And James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 is submitted by Philip as well. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So this needs to be done out of under control and not out of some type of rage or revenge.
Okay.
All right. We're going to get a break, go to the top of the hour, talking about disciplining children. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
I'm Dan Quillen, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with some thoughts about making plans. Have you made any different plans for your spiritual life and for your service for God? We spend time prioritizing personal lives and setting goals in our careers, but do we think in those terms about the most important thing, our soul? Ask yourself these questions. What am I planning to do for God today? In the coming week, what good thoughts will I accomplish for Him? At this time next year, where do I want to be in my spiritual life? In 5 years from now, how will I have changed, improved, and grown in my work for God? 10 years from today, how will my family be? How will I have helped them grow spiritually? 20 years down the road, how will I be doing? As I approach death, what will have been the most important things in my life? Where will I be in eternity?
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. The number of Americans who definitely believe in miracles is increasing. A Pennsylvania State University study in 1991 showed that 73% of American adults believed in miracles. But a 2010 Pew Research Center report found 79% now believe in miracles. The increased belief in miracles crosses all religious traditions, with the strongest gains reported by those who attend services infrequently. That information is via the Association of Religious Data Archives. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning verse 8, "Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away."
For he hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The virtual Bible study continues.
We're back on the top of the hour talking about disciplining children. It is a God-given instruction and obligation, and we want to talk about how we do it on the program tonight. And we're talking about some do's and don'ts. And
we mentioned don't harm, don't do any lasting harm. Be prompt. You know, we referenced Proverbs 13:24 earlier. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So you got to be able to connect the punishment with the crime, so to speak. You know, if you're not doing that, then you're missing the window of opportunity. You got to be prompt with that. We already mentioned you got to control yourself. Don't discipline when you're angry. Here's a good point. Don't reward a child to stop misbehaving. If you stop doing that, I'll give you a piece of candy.
Yeah.
Well, what do they do when they want another piece of candy?
Start misbehaving
again, so they can get rewarded by stopping again. You know. Yeah. So that's. I thought that was a good observation and a thing to avoid.
Yeah.
Dan, you already mentioned talk to the child before and after punishment, and then someone suggested. Generally, children should be disciplined in private. The intention is not to embarrass them, but to get them to be obedient.
Yep. All right. And I liked Chris's comment here on if you're going to do something other than spanking, like grounding the child or taking away privileges, don't give in and lessen or remove the punishment.
That's right. You got to see it through.
Yeah.
You got to see it through. Whatever the punishment is that you've decided upon, you've got to follow through. Consistent and to the end.
All right. Okay, two more points to talk about, and we're running out of time.
Well, let's talk about effectiveness. You know, I think a lot of parents just, in the day-to-day sort of heat of the battle, I guess is maybe the way to put it. You know, you're fighting this battle every day. You're trying to get your kids to behave and be good. And sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. You're so close to the situation, you wonder, am I getting anywhere? Am I making any progress? Is this working? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And so, you know, I think it does parents good to spend some time evaluating the success of their disciplinary efforts. And if they're working fine, if they're not, then it means change it up. You know, find something that does work. Remember, we said the objective of child discipline is to get them to be obedient, mm-hmm. submissive to authority. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta decide if that's the case. Your effectiveness is not determined by how loud your child cries, how big of a fit they throw when you take something away from them or not. That's not the measure of effectiveness. The measure of effectiveness is, are they more compliant? Are they obedient? Do they do what they're told when they're told? And if that's not improving, then the discipline you're using is not on track, and you need to rethink that.
Okay.
So I spanked my child, and he cried real hard and loud. That doesn't necessarily mean that spanking was effective. You know, crying itself can be a form of rebellious protest.
Right.
You know, and so you've got to be sort of realistic about whether your end goal is humble, submissive obedience, and are you getting that? Determine what things are working and what things are not working. As we said earlier, some kids a spanking will do the job. Others, just to talk to them, may do the job. Certainly, we talked about rewards. Make sure the rewards are something that the child likes, and the punishments are something that the child does not like. You got to do that, and then you got to stay with it. This is not. I would argue that this is not a short-term project. This is not something that you're going to get done in a week or a month or a year.
Okay.
You know, typically most parents are going to have their kids under their direct disciplinary oversight for 18, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work on it that long. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be done with it until that time period is over. But okay. You do have that window of opportunity. You need to be working. Start early. Stay with it. Be consistent. But don't think that you can do it and be done with it.
Okay. All right. Chris, in his email, says if the child is indifferent to the punishment or the behavior does not change, then you need to change the method of punishment. If the child seems to learn from their mistake, then it was effective. So good. That's a good way to evaluate our effectiveness.
That's right.
We got to remember the goal here.
Yeah. But if the child finds out that he's stubborn long enough that he can get away with what he's doing, you know, then the whole thing has been a failure. So you got to stay with it, be consistent.
Okay. We got time for your comments if you want to chime in here. We've got plenty of time to go here. Well, we're running out of time, but we've got time to sneak you in. So let us know your thoughts.
And we had one more area that I wanted to touch on, Jacob, and that had to do with older children. You know,
older kids.
You know, when we talk about spanking and so forth, everybody begins to sort of key in on, you know, 2, 3, 5 year old, maybe 7, 8 year olds. But you know, I think most people think about child discipline and they think about those earlier years. They don't think about 12, 13, 15, 17 mm-hmm. year old. But those kids need discipline just as much, or probably even more, than the little ones do. What do we do with kids that are older? What are some principles and guidelines, biblical guidelines, for disciplining kids that are older?
Yeah, I knew that this was about me. You're looking for tips.
I do think that is, you know, I think a worthy principle for parents is, if you're still putting your feet under my table, you're still subject to my authority. You'll do as I say, or there will be consequences for not doing as I say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think a lot of times parents surrender their position of authority way too early. I mean, I've known of parents who who, when their kids hit 12 years old, almost lost full control. They couldn't get them to do anything.
And gave up any hope.
And gave up even trying to do anything. And, of course, life became miserable for all parties involved in those kinds of situations.
Yep.
So what are you going to do if your children are older? What if you got teenagers and maybe there's still some issues going on? What are you going to do?
Chris says it is not practical to spank older kids. And simply talking to them, teens especially, does little good. Taking away cell phones or not allowing them to go over to a friend's house seems very effective. Adding chores or taking away driving privileges are effective as well. On a humorous but somewhat true note, a good rule of thumb to gauge the effectiveness of discipline on a teen is how mad they get at you. Madder and more dramatic they act, the more effective it is.
Well, okay.
So you're really hitting home, I guess, is what Chris is saying there.
Make sure that, then you know that what you're doing is actually hurting.
Yeah.
When they object strongly, right? Yeah. I agree that spanking for older children is not real practical, but I'm going to tell you, I remember spanking your sister when she was 16 years old.
I probably wasn't far behind earlier than that.
But again, that's a rarity. I think your form of discipline sort of changes as the child grows and matures. One of the things that with older children you're going to do is you're going to use God's word more. You're going to reason with them from the scriptures. This is not right, and here's why it's not right. Hopefully we have started early and instilled in them a love for God and his word, and therefore then we can use that to help them to be conscientious about doing the right thing. You know, obviously they're going to face lots of trials and temptations, and maybe they'll slip up and miss it on doing what's right, and you can come to them with the word of God and say, you know this is wrong, and here's what God's word says. And so we can reason with them more as they grow. That's a form of discipline, and certainly becomes more and more appropriate as the child gets older and older.
Yes, absolutely. Chris added in his comments to add chores to kids as punishment. We were discussing this in our Bible class last night, and a mother in the Bible class suggested that adding work was not a good idea, and I hadn't considered that before. Her argument made sense, that you know we shouldn't make kids look at work as being something that they dread.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some validity to, on both sides of that point, I think.
Yeah. We want our kids to appreciate work. We want to just instill in them a positive work ethic, and I hadn't thought about that too much. Do you think that using, in other words, okay, you did wrong, I expect you to rake the whole yard today before I get home from work.
Yeah.
They're always going to dread that. Yeah. And so have I given a negative reinforcement to the notion of work?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something to think about there.
Yeah.
But certainly talk with them, reason with them from the scriptures, pray with the child. Dan mentioned earlier praying with his kids when he disciplines them. I think very appropriate for older kids. What if, as a last resort, your child becomes so unruly and undisciplined that the church then must become involved? They're a Christian, but they've gotten completely out of order. And the church steps in to administer their necessary discipline. What would I do as a parent then?
You got to back it up. And lots of parents, though, have failed in that aspect of things.
Yeah.
I mean, what a terrible message to send to your kids. They're out living a rebellious life, and the church wants to take a stand against that, and you're going to side with the kid in their rebelliousness? Something's not connected here. We've got to see what we're doing there.
Right, exactly right. So we're going to cooperate with Christians, fellow Christians. We're going to cooperate with the local congregation. If it's gotten to the point where they need to rebuke the child, I need to be thanking them for the help that they're giving me, because my child is obviously in great spiritual peril. If it's so bad now that even the church has to become involved.
Yeah, the church isn't going to administer this discipline if they're not picking up their socks and cleaning their room. This is something that's serious.
It is real serious.
Get in line and help with that.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right.
Well, those are just some thoughts on child rearing. We hadn't spent a lot of time talking about that on the virtual Bible study, but I think it's a very important and biblical subject.
Yeah.
And so we need to spend some time on it.
All right. Dan, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me, Jacob.
Comments and your help. And Dad, thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks, Jacob.
And certainly it is a daunting task, and certainly a task that we do not need to take lightly. Dan, you and I still have lots of work to do. And so it's a good discussion.
Someone asked in the chat room what worked with Jacob. Jacob got several spankings, but Jacob was always one that you could talk to and talk him into behavior.
You had a big paddle that you talked to.
I had an oak paddle that I had cut out.
It was about
four feet long. Like a cricket stick. And you all knew what it meant when it came out.
Yeah, we did. All right. Okay. We'll call it quits at that, and appreciate you joining us on the program tonight. Hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word of the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.